Isn't this a prediction, another miracle in the Quran where God Almighty Allah is talking about a prophecy, something will happen in the future?
Why? You would want that to influence your child. Would you want a stripper or a porn star to influence your child?
You prey upon impressionable children.
I am a wolf therian and a member of the furry fandom.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace to all. Thank you for tuning into the Dean Show. Now, my next guest, Dr. Kareem Abu Zaid, is an imam, a community leader, an expert in the area of Quran, exegesis, Islamic counselor, leadership and development role, amongst other areas of expertise. And we are bringing him on to get his reaction to some of the current events that are happening around us and to see if he can answer the million-dollar question. What is a woman? What is a man? And other important questions, but first, let us open up with this committee meeting that was happening, that took place. And the person speaking, his name is Matt Walsh from the film, What is a Woman?
I would thank you all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students, to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument. You can only hide under your beds like pathetic little gutless cowards, hoping we shut up and go away. But we won't. I promise you that. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Sheikh Kareem Abu Zaid, how you doing, Sheikh?
Hey, Eddie, how you doing? Good to see you again, man.
Good to see you again. Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the opening?
Yeah, you know, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad, وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. You know, Eddie, a lot of people don't realize that the subject of you know, homosexuality is addressed thoroughly in the Quranic scripture. And actually, it's built on the Mosaic tradition as well, which is the Old Testament, the Book of Genesis, and so forth.
That the Jews and Christians go by, right?
Yes. Although their literature, we believe that it has been affected by the human inputs, infusions there, but still reads out that this is wrong. What a lot of Muslims don't realize that those individuals who adopt this lifestyle, they are not going to stop until they tell you what they told Lot and his family: get out of here. That's their agenda. That's their end of line agenda. أخرجوا آل لوط من, this is in the Quran, من قريتكم إنهم أناس يتطهرون. Expel the family of Lot out of the your town because they are adopting purity, which is they, in a way, they are admitting that what they are doing is impure.
So stop right there, Sheikh. You know, it says, and his people did not answer him, but this. They said, drive them out of your city. These are indeed men who want to be, that's the key words, they want to be pure, clean and pure, moral. So this is the ayah that you're sharing with us?
Yes, Surah Al-A'raf.
And this is from the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Creator, yeah. Allah.
Yeah, and that's their words.
Allah. The God of Jesus, the God of the Christians, the God of the Jews, the God of humanity.
Allah said that on their tongue. That's what they said. So Allah said that on their tongue in our revelation.
So because they want to live a clean, pure life, now they're under attack?
Absolutely. So a lot of Muslims, especially the so-called self-claimed leaders of this community, especially in the USA, they come up and say, well, let's align because they are... No, that's not their agenda. You know, Eddie, we have a doctrine in Islam called the doctrine of al-wala wal-bara, which is loyalty and disavow. Basically, you're not supposed to accept or like what people do of polytheism, of shirk. But yet, you still need to treat them with respect, justly and fairly and kindly, as long as they are not combatant. That's the overall. A Christian, a devout Christian, will respect you being a Muslim. And he will settle for that.
Just like Pastor David when I visited
there. Yes, yes. But those people, they will not leave you alone unless you join their party. And,
There was a video out there with Circuit. Did you see it? We're coming to get your kids. We're coming to get your kids. Your children. Did you see that?
That's their agenda. And that is why those people who say, don't say no or yes. We got some guy saying that. Just stay in the middle. Don't say. That's the crime of the wife of Prophet Lut. What was her crime? She was in the middle. Don't assume that she was, astaghfirullah, a lesbian. Never. Allah will test a messenger with such a trial. No. Her crime is she consented. She did not say yes. She did not say no. But let me just, you got me off guard here because I really wanted to start from somewhere. Eddie. So many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about previous nations and their defiance and their rebellious attitudes towards the messengers and the prophets. And normally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would attribute that they disbelieved, they are arrogant, they didn't adhere. Rarely you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning a sin that they actually did. Except, to my understanding, there are others, but the most common is Shu'aib, cheating and selling and buying, business transactions, and the people of Lut, when it comes to this immoral sin, which is homosexuality. Here is what a lot of Muslims do not know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke out against this in that manner in the Quran, because they openly started doing it. They openly started calling people to it. They openly started going after their population. And like I mentioned at the very beginning, look what Lut said to them. And this reference in Surah Al-Ankabut, I wish you can bring the reference there. أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ You commit intercourse with the men. وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ You're the people who weigh robbers, the people who rob the steal the wayfarers, the people who are traveling.
Huh? Yes.
Look at this. وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرُ And you openly commit this sin in your social clubs, in your gathering.
Is this the verse that you're talking about? I remember Lud, behold, he said to his people, you do commit lewdness such as no other creation committed before. Do you indeed approach men and cut off the highway.
There you go, highway robbers. Yes.
Yeah, and highway practice robbers. And practice wickedness in your councils, but
yes,
his people did.
The word nadikum is like a social nadi, you know, like a club, social club, like where you meet. So you do this openly, publicly. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten, Muslims need to wake up. They got into that limit. They got into that level now. They are at this stage now, and they are inviting us. And you know,
that's the point. That's the point. If you're doing something in the privacy of your home, but why do you have to be identified by your sexuality now? This is like, you know, getting out there and promoting this and trying to, especially to the children now. At you're seeing what's happening in the schools. You see how they're bringing this into the schools at a young age, and they're confusing the children. And they're doing something that now for, I don't know, since the beginning of time, you had a boy was a boy, a man, a girl was a girl. But now they're coming up with this, you know, this thing about you have biology, you have your sex, then you have your gender. And gender, as they say, fluid. It could just like change. There's no science behind it. There is no rationale behind it. There's nothing solid behind it, but confusion. And you have, you saw the Dr. Phil. It's real surprising that he was quoting that half the country is divided on this.
Half of Americans say they feel very or somewhat comfortable using gender neutral pronouns, while 48% say they feel very or somewhat uncomfortable using them.
So if you don't stand for something of truth that's solid, you can see how people can be swayed because of public pressure, peer pressure, social pressure.
You know who they are targeting most now? Muslims.
Yeah, you saw the hijab. Why would they have Muslim women? This is so sacred. Whom imitate Mary, the mother of Jesus? Just like having a
hijab, and she's holding a rainbow flag. Why? Yeah. Why do you need? Why don't you just portray her without a hijab? No.
What if they had the Jewish rabbis eating pork, right? If the pork company, they were, business was going low, and they really wanted to get sales up, so they were promoting pork, and they were using the rabbis eating pork.
Why, Eddie?
Because why that?
Muslims are the last line of defense. You need to understand. You probably saw that the Pope, the Catholic Pope, the largest organized Christian, institution in the world. Came out and he said, they are part of us. They are part of the family. So, the other people, reformists, the people who are call themselves reformers, reformists of previous faith, they already compromised and condoned.
I want to show you something. Now, this is not a woman. This is a man. So don't, I know we try to hold things very modest and whatnot. So don't get spooked out, Shea. But this is a man who's coming out. They call it a drag queen. So I would ask, would the Pope allow this in front of him? Would he be a part of this? But because they're having these things with children. So this is the warning.
What in the hell has a drag queen ever done to make you have so much respect for them and admire them so much? Other than put on makeup and jump on the floor and writhe around and do sexual things on stage. I have absolutely no idea why you would want that to influence your child. Would you want a stripper or a porn star to influence your child? It makes no sense at all. A drag queen performs in a nightclub for adults. There is a lot of filth that goes on, a lot of sexual stuff that goes on. And backstage, there's a lot of nudity, sex, and drugs. Okay? So I don't think that this is an avenue you would want your child to explore.
So they're having children who are, you can't have a child go to a strip club because you can get arrested for that, right? You can be in some deep trouble, but they bring them to these events and having these children put dollar bills into these men's underwear, G-strings. And this is what, and then they next day, and also having the young kids coming and doing this story hour with this, and if you say anything, then you're labeled certain names, derogatory names, or whatever.
I've been living in this country for almost 30 some years. The last decade, there is a huge boost to that movement. We know why, because somehow they equated the 60s civil rights movements, which defended the rights of the African Americans who were discriminated against, disfranchised because of their color with their rights. You see, there is an organization which a lot of Muslims go for, Black Lives Matter. You know, they got in on the agenda of Black Lives Matter. They basically said, okay, let's align with you. And whatever privileges you get, we get too. And that is why they got that boost. First of all, is it fair to equate the 60s civil rights movement with them? No. These guys, they were discriminated against because of their color. So now, because of a desire that they have inside them, sexual orientation is a private thing, Eddie. It's not something that you have to disclose. Why do you need to disclose it unless you're inviting me to it? Why do you need to talk about it to others? You can just have it. Lakum dinukum wa liya din. Stay away from me. Stay away from my family. But like you mentioned, no, they are not going to stop there. They are going to whether expel those who... Of course, they defame. You're a homophobe. Some Muslims now lose their job. Some businesses go out of business because of that. And it's going to keep going. Eddie, those people, Allah told us in the Quran that they tried to raid the angels who appeared in a human form, who came to destroy them, or assigned to destroy them. They actually tried to raid them, go after them. So This is not going to be like something out there. You know, there is a hadith out there. The Prophet said, the likeness of those who stand for what is right, hududillah, and those who compromise. You know, those who go and say, oh, it's a losing battle. Don't do something about it. You know, I never heard a scholar, someone who calls himself a scholar would speak like that, in that manner. In that manner, you know, the Prophet says, when you see evil, change it with the hand. Of course, we live in a country. We abide by the laws of the land. We cannot do that. Okay, the tongue, da'wah. And if you cannot do both, then what? Separate, go away with your heart. Condemn it, detest it with your heart. And that's what you need to do to be saved. One of the things that Lut alayhi salam said to his people, Eddie, and that's in chapter al-Shu'ara. I wish you can bring it. The context in chapter al-Shu'ara. Inni li'amalikum min al-qaleen. Read what Ibn Kathir explained, what al-qaleen means. Al-qaleen, that I detest that. He said that to them. I abhor that. I hate that. I hate the act, not you. He still called them my brothers. You're my brothers. We're going to give them da'wah. But I hate the act. And I condemn it with my heart. Because if I don't, it's going to come to me. It's going to reach me. I'm going to be one of them soon if you do not do that, Eddie.
So if somebody... Go ahead.
The point... I'm sorry, the subject really, you know, it gets to me. I go back to the hadith quickly. So the Prophet said the likeness of those who stand firm and those who compromise is like two groups of people got on a ship. You're familiar with the hadith. Hadith Nu'man ibn Bashir fi Sahih al-Bukhari. What happened? The people downstairs, you know, they are well-intended. We can say that these brothers who say that, the brothers who go and align with individuals who promote this openly and because of a common cause, justifying this by hilf al-fudul or the alliance of the virtuous in the seerah, which has nothing to do with it. We understand that they could be well-intended. The brother who said that, don't do anything about it. We're not policing politically correct, but morally incorrect, morally haram, differentiating between the two. They could be well-intended, but look what the Prophet told us. You know, every time they want water, they go up the upper level and disturb the people in the upper level. The people who have the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, they see, they read the Quran, they base their opinions on Quran and Sunnah, and they understand. So the people in the lower level of the ship, what did they do? What they want to do? They want to dig a hole in the ship. What will happen to the hole? It's going to get to you, brothers and sisters in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every newborn is born on the fitra. Yes, we understand that the hadith means Islam, but fitra also means trait. Fitra means that identity. He's a male. He's a female. Now, who's responsible for protecting that fitrah? you, and they're going after your children in the public school system. Listen, I'm not inciting hate or anything. No, I'm just telling you, wake up. You're the last line of defense. The Muslims are the last line of defense against this immoral trend in the United States, which will lead to the destruction of this country. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we're going to end up with two solutions. Whether the ship is going to sink with an S, with all of us, like in the Hadith, or like the people of Lut, or we're going to have to leave.
So this is where you have, because people, and that's one of the slogans, love and let love and all, you know, these, and you quoted this from Al-Azhar University, where they also talk about this play on words, right? This play on words. But the real love is what you're doing here, what Muslims are trying to do, as because you have the prophet of mercy, as God Almighty Allah says, you have been sent as a mercy to all mankind. So this is a mercy, and it's out of love that you're trying to protect the people who, from the what would be called the medical mafia, you know, you have people who are making big business out of this, and you have all the major media outlets who are programming the minds, who are occupying the hearts and minds of these young, innocent children. And you want to protect people, obviously, from falling into, which they have studies now that 7 to 10 years after these operations happen, you know, people, this is the most, the group with the most, the highest level of suicide, depression, you know, some of the most amount of health problems. So this is love. It's not letting someone continue to drink. And so go ahead, you're advising them. You should quit. You know, if you love your friend and the person's, you know, on drugs or an alcoholic, you love him, so you don't want him to go down that route. So
Wallahi, Idi, I swear by my Lord, walastu bihanit, I say this because I care even for that community. Even for that community. Because we know, we're firm believers that, and you have history. You have a story that is shared mosaically, biblically. It's in the book of Genesis, the story. Although they added a little bit extension to it at the end that, you know, this is irrelevant here. And you have also the history of the previous superpowers. Mm-hmm. What made them decline in morality? Not the iPhone, not the material. They were very progressive material-wise. You know, with the iPhone, they were probably going to go until iPhone 30. But you see, the decline of morality is going to drag us down, is going to take us down. Because that's sunnah. That's a way of Allah. You know, that's a universal way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why I call upon these brothers who somehow share the platform with those people. Or share the platform with someone who condones that openly, to please come and retract, correct that. Because a lot of youth now are entertaining the idea. A lot of youth consider it part of tolerance. No, tolerance, you know what tolerance is? Tolerance that you call them to the truth kindly and nicely. But in your heart, no, I detest that. I'm going to say what Lut said. Inni li'amalikum min al-qalin. I abhor, I detest the act. But you, I'm going to call you kindly. I'm going to call you nicely to the truth because I care for you.
Yeah, this is really deep if you think about it. Trying to save people, you know, I heard that each customer that goes down this route and changes the human biology, the parts that Allah has given you, this is like a $1.3 million right off the bat over time that's going to go towards the big drug industry. So there's a lot behind this. And when you look at Kinsey and John Money and many of these people who have set the precedents for this, were the mastermind behind this. These were people who were sick and deranged, pedophiles.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm really taken by that.
I was, I don't know if you knew some of, if you hear some of these names, that psychologists, psychiatrists, they go off the works of Kinsey, the works of John Money. These people, when you look at their lives, any sane person, any person who has morality, but that's the part where we have to, people have to go ahead and really, because the moral compass, if you don't have, that's the thing. If you don't have a guiding light, if you're just going off your whims and desires, then just like half the country is just going along with this, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And people are falling for the biggest trick that Shaitan now is playing on humanity. And like you said, I like what you said, that now some people are creating more confusion now. They're creating more and more confusion instead of drawing a firm line and not being able to deviate from that. And this is true love. This is true mercy.
The Prophet said that the fitna, the test, is presented to the heart. If you do not detest it, if you do not abhor it, if you do not hate it, I'm not talking about treating people. No. Your heart is going to absorb it. Your heart is going to suck it. And sooner and later, you're going to start talking like them, acting like them, condoning them, accepting them, and so forth. And finally, you're going to fall into these traps.
Let's get one of those right here, and I'll get your reaction.
So now we are seeing kids that are identifying as animals going to school, and they are purring instead of answering questions, and they meow, and the teachers are not allowed to question it because it's considered a queer identity.
So you have kids that are going to school, and they're saying, I'm a cat, and the teachers have to affirm them as a cat.
Yes. So it's not just the young.
Schools are literal zoos now, basically.
They are.
I am a 27-year-old transgender woman. I am a Wolf Therian and a member of the furry fandom.
When and how did you discover this inner wolfness?
Probably around age 10 or 11. I was watching an anime about wolves and see the wolf running across the screen, and I'm somehow just intrinsically like, oh, that's me.
Have you spent any time around biological wolves?
Yes.
That sounds dangerous also. What context are you?
So I was a volunteer with a preserve, and I've also visited many wolf preserves.
Are you able to communicate with the wolves?
Am I going to have a conversation with a wolf in the way that I'm communicating you and I? Obviously not. Am I going to read their body language, respond appropriately to their behaviors and their nonverbal cues? Yes.
Would you be able to give us an example of this wolf communication?
No. I'm not comfortable doing so.
Okay.
Let me ask you, since you're an expert here in exegesis, tafsir, explanation of the Quran, isn't this a miracle? One of the miracles, there's so many miracles in the Quran for any sincere person that looks into it, the preservation of the Quran, the prophecies, the science, so many, too many to list. We're not talking about that today. But isn't this a prediction, another miracle in the Quran where God Almighty Allah is talking about a prophecy, something will happen in the future that they will change. That Shaitan will go ahead and entice them to change the creation of God, Allah.
Here is the verse. وَلَا أُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَا أُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَا آمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَا آمُرَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will first throw confusion there. You see, the four steps here. In the verse, four steps. I hope you can Surah An-Nisa, I think 196, 191, if I'm not mistaken. 196, I think. 191. Chapter 4. Look at this. The first one, I'll throw misguidance there. Confusion. You know, one of the smartest, I'm not saying this praiseworthy, but the satanic.
You said Surah Nisa?
Nisa, 191, 196, if I'm not mistaken. Is to confuse people. Is you know, you go out there and you say, well, it's morally haram. You see that? It's morally haram. But politically, no. What is the difference between the two? This is insane for a student of knowledge, for someone who has ABC Quran, ABC Sunnah, to speak like that. What is the difference between the two? Because they are supporting my cause, defending me against Islamophobia. So that's what's happening. You begin feeling cozy about it. You feel comfortable about, oh, that group is being treated unfairly. I got to stand with them. They are like me. They are minority. They are, you just mentioned at the beginning of the show that they reach half of the country now. I don't know if this is like the people.
That was from the Dr. Phil show. Yes.
Yeah, whatever it is. So what is the next? I will make them desire it. And once they get to that level, I will command them to change the way that Allah created them, to change that fitrah, which mentioned in the hadith. But that's the Quran. That's what Allah is telling you. Why don't we believe our revelation, guys? Why do we try to employ our intellect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same chapter, by the way, Surah An-Nisa, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And Allah wants you to repent so that He will accept your repentance. Just go ahead and come back to Allah. Even, I want to say this, even to the people who committed that sin, do you still have a chance with Allah? Wallahi, you have a chance. Come back. Come back to Allah. But look at this. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. And those who follow their whims and desires. This is in the Quran, the same chapter, by the way, in Nisa. Those who follow their whims and desires, they want you to go more farther into a greater, the greatest deviation that you can reach at. So we need to believe our revelation, back off, guys. We need to stand firm in the face of this. Otherwise, I'm telling you, whether Allah is going to destroy this nation, and I'm saying it bluntly, and we're going to be destroyed with them, or whether...
But you had at one point with the Inquisitions and whatnot, you had people forcing people, let's say, to eat pork. So you're forcing people to kind of understand that. No, you can't force someone to eat pork. If they're a Jew or Muslim, you can't do that. And now if you're on the contrary, you're forcing someone into accepting certain things that go against their moral code, that go against God Almighty. And then labeling them as hateful and whatnot. They just want to be left alone. They just want to live a peaceful life. They're not trying to harm you. They're trying not to.
I'm not gonna be yours.
Respect.
Can you allow me to send a message to the learned brothers, so-called scholars or self-claimed leaders of this community? And I'm not going to name them. I'm okay with that. But allow me just a couple of minutes. One of the names of the Quran, Eddie, Al-Furqan. You know what Al-Furqan is? Mm-hmm.
The criteria, yes.
The dividing, the decisive element or factor between good and evil. And actually, there is a whole chapter in the Quran called Al-Furqan, which is chapter 25. If you read that chapter thoroughly, throughout, you will find out that always the immediate recipients of the revelation, the Arabs in Mecca, it's a Mecca chapter, they always requested a physical sign, like the stick of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or Jesus. You know, they wanted something, although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and some scholars counted 1500 physical signs, you know, physical miracles, yani miracles that you can see. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always responded to them, the Quran is the miracle. Here is the mistake that a lot of Muslims don't pay attention to. A lot of Muslims think that the Quran is miraculous because of a mystic kind of thing. And that's why they go after this hadith. If you recite chapter Yasin 10 times, you're going to jump up and down. No. You know why the Quran is a miracle? Because it will always stay a decisive factor between good and evil. Not only that, it will produce generations of Muslims who will present that Furqan on the ground. And I want you to read the last two pages in this chapter. It talks about wa'ibadur rahman. You see, you're asking for a physical miracle. No, the miracle of the Quran, that it will produce people who will explain the truth to the people, who are not going to mix this with that. And because this is politically correct and this is morally incorrect, brothers and sisters in Islam, back off. Don't take, you know, people with you. You can't do that. Don't, especially the youth, your fans, the people who sign up for your Facebook page and you become happy when it reaches a million or two. Be careful, brothers and sisters in Islam. Come back and correct what you have done. Say this is wrong publicly and correct that. Because we need to stand together, Eddie. We need to stand together in the face of this. We cannot break up. If we break up, they will eat you. And that's the whole thing. If we have some people who are already compromising the issue, so we need to stand together. So come back to the Quran and Sunnah and stand firm. And we're not inciting any hate or any violence here. No, we're just asking to protect ourselves and our children. I think we're entitled to that. We are followers of divine revelation, which promotes objective morality bound to the revelation. It's not standing on a shifting sand because of democracy and because somebody passed a law. No, we're standing in a firm, solid ground. And please leave us alone. Leave us alone. And brothers and sisters, dear Muslim scholars, whoever you are, whatever you want to call yourself, come back. Come back to the truth and don't shy away, because it could be late. If you are the reason for a Muslim to go astray with regard to this particular fahisha, particular sin.
We got a little more time before we come to an end, a close. I just want to get a couple more things in. One thing I thought was very interesting was I interviewed a conservative Christian not too long ago, and these are his words. He said that more and more Christians,
putting a stop to the degeneracy, and in the stricter Muslim countries, they put their foot down hard. Where in America, it's almost like they don't put their foot down at all. So I think there's this new respect for Islam and in even the Christian and American world,
that are having a more favorable view of Islam because Islam doesn't bend. They're seeing all this that's happening, you know, with the kids going to these, getting these lap dances and all the other madness that's out there, the howling, the wolves, and, you know, I'm a cat and I'm this and I'm a wolf and all the other madness. And they are seeing, when they look into Islam, that Islam doesn't bend to these things. They're seeing the firmness of it, and they're starting to understand the hikmah, the wisdom. And this is what the Christians are saying.
So it's the last line of defense, guys. فَلَوْلَا كَانَ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أُولُو بَقِيَّةٍ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّمَّنْ أَنْجَيْنَا مِنْهُمْ. This is a verse that came right after the story of Lut. Not right after, but maybe a couple of pages. And in essence, Allah mentioned the stories of multiple nations, and then Allah is talking to us. Has it been for the few who enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil? Everybody would have been destroyed. Like us, you see, they want us to compromise. And you're the last line of defense. And that is why I feel so sad. And when, you know, I feel so sad when I see someone who calls himself a scholar telling his followers, don't condemn, don't accept. Stay in the middle. What do you mean? You're asking us to adopt the position of the wife of Lut, my friend. And that's, Allah made her a sign for humanity until the day of judgment. When Prophet Lut was leaving town, she turned into a stone, an idol, in order to become, وَلَقَدْ تَرَقْنَا فِيهَا آيَةً بَيِّنَةً, a crystal clear sign to show you the destiny and the recompense of those who not accept it, not practice it. No. Those who stand in the middle. No, you got to make your position crystal clear. But if you allow me, because one of the tactics which this group uses, you know, they want to be all inclusive. So anybody who has the thought of becoming a, you know, a homosexual, he has some that internal attraction. So they include him. They want to defend him. I tell you, brother, you could have these attractions to the same gender. It is possible. Shaitan may play on you, but you're not a gay. You're not a homosexual. No, you're not, because you have not done it. And by the way, dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, you striving not to respond to that call, internal call, you get so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes, Eddie, we normally talk about individuals who get rewarded for doing good deeds, but we do not talk about those who stay away from the haram. You know, there is a hadith Abdullah ibn Umar, Sahih Bukhari, the three individuals who got stranded inside a cave, right? You're familiar with that hadith, right? And they couldn't come out, right? What is the second man was doing? What is the second man did? He was invited to adultery. فَقُمْتُ عَنْهَا. And I stood up. So if and he said, I love her. I love her. I never loved the woman the way that I loved my cousin. But I feared when she reminded me of Allah, I feared Allah. And imagine this act, move the rock, Eddie. When you stand in the face of your desire, there is nothing wrong with having these feelings. Eddie, they normally come up with this idea that these are genes. No, give me a break. You know, I'm going to use an analogy here. A couple of hadith that individuals came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, we find cure in grapes, which turns into liquor. Like these days, we have the medical marijuana, by the way. This is something also we should stand for, because we're going to come to our kids. Anything that is immoral, we're going to stand for. And others said, well, this particular thing which intoxicates, we find cure in it. You know what Allah, what the Prophet said to them? Allah is more wise to place a cure in something that he made unlawful. So you think when you say that you have genes, these are because of the way that you were created, you're accusing Allah his wisdom. You don't know anything about Allah. I'm telling you, if you say that, anybody. And not only that, medical people came up with research, lab work, proving that this has nothing to do with the way that you were born.
Yeah, this was a hoax.
This is a hoax. It has nothing to do with it. Yes, yeah. There are some individuals who are born with some more hormones in this area. We understand that. And that's why they have this attraction. But, you know, if hypothetically, may Allah protect me from that. Imagine you loving the wife of another Muslim brother. And you love her, you know, that lustful love, that Hollywood love, not the Islam love. Huh? So does this justify you go after her and try to marry her and divorce her from her husband? Huh? No, I'm sorry, astaghfirullah. I'm not going to do that. Although I love her, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to respond. This is where we're tested. I love money. We all have extra hormones in some area. I love money. That means I go and break into Wells Fargo and do a bank robbery here? No.
How about the brother Sheikh? He says, look, I got four, I want five. He can't do it. He has to stop.
This is beside the point. Come on, man.
Okay,
let's stay serious here. Yeah. You got to be
and then yeah. This is you also have so many doctors. You have and we're almost out of time, but just to touch upon this, you know, you had some scholars who talked about the pathogenic diseases that this promotes, and CDC and others have warned about sodomy in this particular area, that the harms that are potentially created can happen. So this is another area that doctors, you know, people who talk about heart disease, they talk about, you know, so many other health disasters that can happen if you eat this kind of fatty food, this, that, and the other. But here you have medical experts, they're scared to speak up, but many have in the literature, but they're scared to come out because what happens, they will get ostracized, they'll get attacked. So this is another point.
Yeah.
Just one more thing, Sheikh, before we come out.
Can I just complete this thought?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
In context, also, brothers and sisters in Islam, some people may end up contemplating, considering this same or that homosexuality because of an experience that they had as a children. Whether they fallen into it because they didn't know the gravity of it, or whether they were molested or raped. We understand that. These are the reasons why.
That's a big reason, yeah.
Yes, these are the reasons. But again, this is your test, brothers. Life is only 67 years old and we're going to be done. The test is going to be over. And you have Jannah. Stand firm. Don't allow these internal struggles that you had in the past affect your religion, affect your Islam. Just in a nutshell, one last thing, Brother Eddie. You have two types here. The one type who halalized this, and those are the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The people who believe that this is lawful. This is so inside. And we still have those who have fallen into it, or they have tendency towards it, but they still believe it's a sin. Stay like this at least. And come out of it for the sake of Allah. But those who halalized it, made it lawful, then they have gone out of the fold of Islam, although there is nothing we can do. But we need also to throw the ground, because we want people to contemplate the idea that's lawful. Allah made me this way. That is wrong. There is no such a thing.
One brother, Sheikh Mustafa, he gives an example of a story, and it goes relates to coming back. There was a woman who came to one of his lectures, and he was presenting Islam, giving the evidence and the proofs, etc., etc. And then the person, he saw this lady there with another lady. They're holding hands, and later he found out that they were a couple. And then he just intrinsically, he thought that there's no way that this person would, you know, accept Islam because X, Y, and Z. But later come to know this person actually, after his lecture, after some time looking into the proofs and evidences, that person came back to God, to Allah, they accepted Islam. And then in the conversation, the person said that, look, prayer, I didn't have a hard time establishing it. I got it down. Hijab, I got that taken care of. This was my biggest test, this attraction to the opposite. To the same, but I did it for God. I did it for Allah, and I overcame it. So this is a true story.
من ترك شيئا لله عوضه الله خيرا منه. If you leave something for the sake of Allah, for Allah, Allah will support you, and Allah will give you something much, much, much better. And there are certain things, sins, and or certain trials, Eddie. The only one who can save you is Allah. And this is one of them, I'm telling you. This mm-hmm. is one of them. And that is why I call upon every Muslim who found himself in that area. You know, Eddie, by the way, Lut was not raised up in these seven Sodom and Gomorrah towns. You're probably aware of that. You know, Lut is the nephew of Ibrahim.
Abraham, yeah.
Ibrahim, alayhi salam. So he was sent to those people. He was not one of them. He was not like a, but yet, wa ila Lut, he called them, you are my brethren. You know, he's calling these people, you are my brethren. You know, yes, we got to have that attitude. We got to call these brothers and these sisters, especially Muslims who have fallen into the dungeons of this wicked lewdness. You still have a chance. But don't pass the line of halalization that you begin contemplating the idea it's lawful to do that. Because the moment that you pass that line, it's over.
We're almost out of time, but you have a certain politician, Muslim politician. I don't have to say the lady's name, but she's also kind of just went towards that avenue of what you're saying. This is very, very inappropriate for someone who is...
I call upon every Muslim. Wallahi, I care for you. And I know who you're talking about, dear sister. Back off. Your akhirah is more important. Your hereafter is more important than a seat in a Congress or a seat in a Senate or whatever it is. Than a podium in a conference. Eddie, I get invited so many places. I always ask, who is with me on that platform? Because I know that the moment that I associate myself, that sends a message, So I also call upon these big so-called self-claimed leaders. Check out who you hang around with on public, because it sends a message. Yes, it may not be a direct one, but indirect one. And you don't want to be a reason for the misguidance. And I call upon these brothers and sisters who are firm on this. And they are facing a lot. Remember Imam Ahmad. You know, Imam Ahmad, when the people came up with the huge fitna of the creation of the Quran, and everybody was compromising, everybody was giving in. Even his uncle came to him and he said to him, Ya Ahmad, tell them what they want to hear, Yabni. They are flogging you. He said, no, I can't do that. You know, especially if you're a scholar, especially if you're someone who has 5-6 million people on your fan and Facebook page, 1 million, 2 million, 100, 200. Stand firm for the truth. Broadcast the right message so that Allah will save your followers. Jazakallah khairan, Eddie, for addressing this issue.
Last thing I want to ask you is that's the $1 million question. This is something that hopefully you can answer, because this individual, Matt Walsh, he went out from the movie What is a Woman? And he was asking, these are academics, you know, these are specialists in the field. What is a woman? So how would you answer that question, Sheikh? What is a woman? What is a man?
You see, that's the entry to entertaining this ideology, the entire package. You see, it's a whole package. It begins by that tolerance, accepting them. How are you doing? You know, being around them. And then actually, you know how the whole thing started? Is trying to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not he. They're canceling out Allah is he. You understand?
Yes.
When they start questioning that and the inequality between, you see, this old shaitan, brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah created you to be tested in this world. And this is a serious area. You know, we have been talking about it light in the past because it was hidden in the bedroom somewhere. But now they are coming after you, coming after your children. We're not inciting hate again, a disclaimer, because people like to, you know, jump on that kind of talk. No, but make sure that you do something in your area to defend your children. I hope you will consider sending your children to Salahuddin Future Academy online instead of public school. And by the way, we're going to be opening, inshallah, a center in Florida where the Dean Center is. So I'm putting you on the spot now. And I'm calling upon the brothers and sisters, help us out, meet our target. I'm going to come out heavy with fundraising for the Dean Center in Florida. Inshallah, Salahuddin Future Academy will be part of that. We're going to establish a school there in Florida, one of the branches. But alhamdulillah, it is children actually are enrolled in Salahuddin Future Academy, which is a national school. Brothers and sisters in Islam, your children cannot afford losing tawheed and morality, objective morality. And that's what's happening in the public school. Now we're presenting to you the alternative. Enroll your children. Help us expand this. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Ameen. Thank you very much, Sheikh, for sharing this time with us. May God Almighty Allah reward you. Thank you.
Jazakumullahu.
Walaikum assalam. And thank you guys for tuning in here to the Dean Show. Very, very important topic. Get your kids out of public schools and you have an alternative there with the Salahuddin Academy. And continue. For anybody that's gone down that route, you see the door of mercy is always open. The love is there. God Almighty is the most merciful love. And turn back to the creator of the heavens and earth. Think and contemplate. What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Death is approaching. Am I going to follow my whims and desires and my fancies? And be in the land of confusion. Get out of the confusion. Look into Islam. And we have a gift for you. Visit thedeanshow.com. Get a free copy of the Quran. And start with that formula. Ask. If you ask, you shall receive. Ask sincerely. The creator of the heavens and earth. Guide me. And inshallah, God willing, he will guide. He's the most loving, the most merciful. And we'll see you next time here in the Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, we're halfway there. This is your brother Eddie from The Dean Show, and alhamdulillah, we are purchasing a 35,000 square foot property to build the Dean Center, a Dawah Center, a masjid, the first of its kind in America, and we are halfway there to closing on the property. We have $700,000 left that must be collected this month in order to close on the property. Get the tremendous rewards by helping to build the Dean Center with us by donating right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.